What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with my favorite episodes. They're our expert corner interviews that we do every Friday. We bring on short-term rental investors willing to have a conversation, let me catch up with their journey, and you all get to listen in to the good, the bad, the ugly of that journey. And so today we've got Mr. Craig Berkeley joining us from Pittsburgh area. So Craig, appreciate you joining, my man.
Oh, hey, thanks, Sean. I appreciate the opportunity, and welcome to all of Odyssey viewers here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, we're going to dive into the projects and the property and everything you have going on. I always like to start because it's fun to hear people's backstory a little bit. What got you, you know, what pays the bills, where you're from, what got you interested in short-term rentals, and then we'll talk about that journey into it.
Okay. Thanks, Sean. So I'm a hands-on guy. My father was an old coal miner from Western Pennsylvania. My mother's a nurse, so they're working people. Do a lot with our hands and things. And over the years, I've done a variety of things. Everything from maintenance management with the city of Pittsburgh to real estate development. And I have a real estate license. And at one point, my wife and I were up to 21 long-term rental properties that we personally owned and operated. And, you know, through that process, I was sort of, you know, discovering that I liked real estate. But I also realized very early on that, you know, when there's debt to support on these single family homes and the market is kind of coming and going and things, that there are some challenges there. And there's also a lot more wear and tear when you get into long-term occupancy is something that I'm seeing now. So, you know, by day, I'm a CFO. That's how I pay the bills, keep the lights on, so to speak, and things. But we had gotten out of the real estate space, I think in 2017, we sold our last unit. And I've always been talking about how we supplement retirement income and so forth. And almost always, inevitably, my mind drifts back into the rental space. And I had seen some of what you were doing online and what you were talking about, and just the fact that, you know, that it would be fun to do some things in areas that you want to be and so forth, and you like to go. So that's what got me pointing in the right direction.
You just said something that I totally agree with, by the way, but a lot of people, we don't talk about it very often because it doesn't come up that often, is the wear and tear on properties with long-term rentals is way worse than what I experience with short-term rentals. And it's kind of a misconception. I think people think because there's so many people in and out of the property, the wear and tear is a lot worse. My experience is the wear and tear on long-term rentals is way worse than on short-term. And it's funny you brought that up because I think the same thing.
We're 4 months in, and I am seeing that aside from one small nick on a whole bank of cabinets, kitchen cabinets, which was my fault. There's a stool there, so it's going to bump into the cabinet. Aside from that, I think people come to see you in the short term, and then they go out for their activities, and that's what they're there for. They don't spend a ton of time like when you live there full time. So, knock on wood, 4 months in, we're super happy with where things are.
Yeah, and you have the benefit when people leave, it gets a full clean. It gets, like, if there's anything wrong, like there's almost no deferred maintenance, because if there is that nick or there is something that happens, you fix it. Because, and then when somebody, you know, when somebody's in there for a year or more, we don't get to really see it all the time. And all of a sudden you get it back and you're like, whoa, this is a year's worth of wear and tear instead of, you know, 3 days worth of wear and tear that I have to deal with.
Yep.
And so, yeah. So let's, you kind of started, never really lost the bug for real estate. Sounds like it was always in the back of your mind, but when did you really start getting like that itch of saying, I want to look at something different, and why, and what led you to short-term rentals?
Well, it was, you know, and again, you know, not paid to be here or anything like that. I really like what you're building and doing here with the community. I had watched as many of your videos as I could, just happened upon it through social media. And I kept thinking, you know, every time you go on vacation, I take a laptop. I go to the beach, I swim, I play with the kids, we make sandcastles, whatever, when they were little. But I take a laptop, and half the time I'm thinking about how do they make these deals work? up and down the shore or whatever. That's our thing. We used to go to the shore. And then I heard a lot of what you were talking about, and it just, I was interested in building something like that. I also liked operating at the higher end of things.
Yeah.
In our portfolio days for long terms, we had a couple of Section 8 opportunities and things like lower end. Yeah. That's not a, you know, I've worked in that space, and that's just a tough, tough grind in a game. And it's hard to see people in those positions. It's hard to run properties. The cash flow was good because they were paying 140% of market because of a court order and some other things in Pittsburgh that transpired. But anyways, I just kept thinking there's got to be a way to make this work. But I couldn't decide when it was time to sort of jump off the, you know, off the dock into the boat and make some things happen. And I always seemed to have other projects that were brewing, you know, with the family and so forth. So
as a numbers guy, CFO by trade and background, and understanding, you know, single family homes, like a lot of us are familiar with, maybe home values and stuff. You had some experience with long-term rentals, start looking at these. Did you realize right out of the gate that the underwriting and the numbers were way different? And were you, was that something that was like, I'm guessing just, you know, don't I want to put words in your mouth, but I'm guessing that that was probably something that was a, like that hurdle in the beginning. It's like, how do I make these work, right? We're taking the laptop and trying to figure out how are people penciling these out and making them work from a financial standpoint, right?
Yeah. And full disclosure, the only way that the numbers work is, you know, in a lot of cases is on the short-term side of things. Yeah. I will tell you that the property that we're going to talk more about, our launch into this space, they did an assessment and appraisal for an annualized rental, furnished renting, and it was $3,200 a month, we'll call it here in the Pittsburgh market, which isn't bad. That'll support a 350 or 400 home or whatever with your taxes and things like that. But, you know, in the short-term space, we're at 5,000 to 6,000, you know, at 80% or 90% occupancy and things. It's just a different animal. The challenge I run into is, you know, having the stomach for letting things unfold. I will mention briefly that similar to one of your properties that, you know, you're an 8 to 10 day out destination.
Yeah.
You know, last night, March was almost empty, and then somebody picked up 10 or 11 days last night, literally all at once and made the month. I was like, I was thinking, wow, is this the slow period that everybody thought it was? Uh-huh. But anyways, but yeah, it is a lot different. The financing is still, you know, a challenge if you have to get into that space, but also having other interest in the property, whether it's your own personal use, or in our case, it's an adjacent property with an easement on my wife and I's 10 acres that we have. So we're already joined at the hip, and, you know, we kind of figured we just dive into it and see where it goes.
Let's talk about the property and why that location, what led you down that road? Cause it was a new build on your guys's existing property, right?
It was an extensive rehab, but it felt like a new build. It probably should have.
I felt like it was a new build when you were going through it.
It was, there was so much foundation work. In fact, our budget, you know, got blown up by literally 100% or more. But the appeal of this property was, I walk into my driveway. We sit at the top of the hill, wooded acreage and things. I can see this house down in the woods, down across our property. I see its driveway, which is on my property and things. And it had been sitting for years and years. And my son was friends with the grandson of the family that owned it, you know, way back in the day, so to speak. And we just sort of watched it, you know, starting to cave in on itself. I didn't go up and violate anybody's privacy or anything by entering the property or anything, but I get down on the driveway in that area and I just see it, and a tree had fallen on it. And, you know, and And as I mentioned to you before, we have two children. Our children at least used to be homebodies that like to be around us a lot and things. And my wife's like, you know what? We should buy that. Hold on to it and see what happens. You know, acreage, probably in our area won't go down anytime soon here. And that's sort of how it started. We were thinking this was either a buy it, tear it down, keep it as adjacent property, just added space for us, or eventually my daughter and her family buys it and they move closer to us or something like that. Yeah. Neither seems to be working out right now, but I'm okay. We found a way to pivot.
Right. And so getting into it, originally the plan wasn't, hey, we're going to buy this and turn it into a short-term rental.
I wanted a beach property, Sean. That's what I wanted to talk to you about is how can I get something that, for my wife and I on the beach and things. And it was literally that, one of our first conversations. Yeah. And I think you were just asking me because you could sense, I think we talked twice in our second conversation. You said, what's stopping you from, taking that next step? You're sitting on the dock here. You know where you want to go. The boat's there, why? And I'm conservative and I'm wondering and I'm worrying and I'm thinking and things. And, I had mentally gotten my head into the space. Well, you should educate yourself. You should find the best program, the best people to surround yourself with, because I want to be the dummy in the room. I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I am never the smartest guy in the Vodacy conversations. Yeah. And I love it because so many other people are figuring things out and helping. But it was on that second call that I made mention that, well, I'll probably take this next step. At first, I have to deal with this darn house over the hill. I either have to put it in a dumpster or at least stabilize it. And you said, what? A house over the hill? And tell me, aren't you like 15 minutes out of the city or whatever? And you started to ask probing questions. And I think we both said, you know what? This is the experiment. This is the test market for us to take a run at it. And I'm so happy that we have. It hasn't been easy, mostly on the construction side. The Airbnb and the short term rental side is coming together pretty nicely with a lot of you and others' influence in the network and the community here. In one call, I got three different referrals that helped me stack all of my tech.
Yeah.
And go from losing revenue to, figuring those things out affordably also, because we're small operators. So,
talk to me about, because rehab, right? That mm-hmm. was, that was probably the most painful part of the process is one, I know from experience, I've spent 6 years rehabbing homes, and I always tell people that, man, you really have to understand what you're diving into, because it feels like on rehabs, every wall the problem you could see on the front of the wall, the minute you go to fix it, you pull that wall down, all of a sudden there's five other problems behind it. And one thing leads to another. You mentioned earlier that your budget goes up by 100%. That's really hard to deal with, right? Those are some hard things to stomach. You're borrowing from places you weren't planning on. You're putting money in place, pulling money from places you weren't planning on. And so, is it the nature of it was an older home and it was just the deferred maintenance was so much that, like I was mentioning, every wall you tore down, there was another problem? Or were there things you felt like you missed from the very beginning with contractors or whatever else?
I missed a few things. I knew we had French draining and water issues. My wife and I's personal property sits at the top of the hill. This property sits at the bottom of the hill. I didn't know the neighbors well enough to know that everybody down there has basement pump systems, French drain pump systems, because there's a lot of water that comes off the hill, so to speak. And I could see it. I saw the trickle running across the basement floor. What I missed, and I probably rose-colored, glasses-ed it a bit, was the chimney that had sunk 2.5 inches. I could tell that there was something, the brick was cracked and things were wonky in that section of the house. I didn't realize that it sunk because there was no foundation or footer around that side of the house. That one portion of the house turned out, one of my contractors thinks it was probably early 1900s. It sits so far back in the woods, it was probably a livestock building that they converted. I didn't have enough experience to know that when you see a 6 foot high or 6 foot 2 inch high kitchen ceiling, that that was probably livestock oriented, not people oriented when it was originally built. But they converted it to the original house, and then they sort of added on to it. And so there were some things there that I should have looked more closely at. I also, you know, in hindsight, I realized in fixing, the municipality had cited these folks for debris and a collapsing adjacent structure, a two-car garage. I knew I had to clean those up, you know. So you go in, you buy the property. We were under the value of the land. So I'm like, well, you know, we're in great shape here. We'll, you know, for $10,000, we'll scoop all this up, put it. But then, you know, you roll in with a D6 and some heavy machinery and things like that, that you're paying, you know, more than $1,000 a day plus operators, you know, like, well, maybe we should grade it, and maybe we should put the driveway in, and maybe we should do this. And, you know, and not to mention the tree that was still laying on the house and stuff. So it just the piece that in hindsight I wish I had thought more about was, you know, from my wife's perspective, she thought we were going to look, you know, sit on this and just stabilize and wait and see. All I saw was losing the asset as it deteriorated. You know, so it had power, it had sewer, it had gas, and it's 400 feet back from the road. So these are not, not inexpensive items here. And, you know, what I realize now is the minute that I put a roof on, thinking that I was doing one thing, stabilizing the structure, and then we'd sit on it for a while. You know, by the time you do that, you clean up the lot, you bought it and things, all of a sudden, you know, we're into it for $80,000-$100,000. Yeah. And now I'm looking at it thinking, well, now it has to start to earn or do something. I'm not sitting on $100,000 that I have a loan on or something just for, you know, giggles and so forth. And that's really the piece that I hadn't done a great job of thinking through. We went into it with one plan, and I very quickly
went
off, you know, on it. So.
Well, and it's so common. You're like, well, we're already in here. Let's do this too. Oh, we're doing this. Now let's do this too. So it's very, very easy to do.
Yeah.
And it happens. And not that it's a bad move. It's just, I always tell people, you've got to build in some massive contingencies on your budget when you go into a rehab. I'm curious, and some questions I know the answer to when I ask them, some questions I don't. This is one I don't. So I'm curious. You mentioned that you were, you know, you're handy. You were doing a lot of this, and you're, you know, whenever I have guys that I talk to that are pretty handy, they're pretty knowledgeable about construction, that a lot of times they get into these projects and they don't on the planning side with contractors and budgeting with contractors, many times they don't get those bids because they think, well, I'm going to do it myself anyways. And a lot of times they don't realize the time or the cost that it's going to take, because just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. I'm curious if that added to any of this along the way.
It did. It did. In fact, we were slow rolling this thing. I will also throw in 2 weeks after we closed on this, and this was, you know, in the summer of 24, I literally tore my Achilles and was out of commission for at least 6 months, and then in a boot for three more. So we were slow rolling this, and to your point, the time value of money, that's the piece you don't consider. And then you start looking at the statements, and all of a sudden it's 500 in interest here and it's 1,000 here. And I'm like, wait, I could have just paid a crew and just blown this thing out. And and in full disclosure, that's kind of what happened through the process. We ended up adding a lot of labor. In fact, I hired one of the main contractor fellas, basically full time. And he and a labor did almost everything, including building a 500 square foot deck. It was a Herculean task, but he's a he's a big, strong dude. he was up for it. But that piece was the one that we hadn't really considered, because I thought, to your point, there's so many of these things that you can do if you have the time.
Yeah.
But even with evenings and weekends, that's it's too much, especially when you're trying to build the business side. Like you get halfway or two thirds in, you're seeing a launch date, and now you have to consider all the things that you have to learn in other spaces. I know nothing about Airbnb and, you know, all the other tools that are out there and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate you sharing that, because I think that one of the things that value adds are, can be amazing at the end of the day when you see what the property turned into, what it's worth now. You probably have some nice equity in the property from doing all that. But but during it, it can be really painful. One, the time value of money is we don't consider it. The other thing is a lot of us, like I'm, and I include myself in this, and this is why I ask this, those of us that are fairly handy, we can do a lot of this different stuff. Many times we like, just because we can do it doesn't necessarily save us money, because the person that we can hire has the right tools. They do it every day, so they're going to be 10 times faster than us, you know, and they're just going to get in and out sooner, even if we pay them. And many times we end up paying them afterwards anyway, after we take the time, right?
I did because work, and then we tore it out, Sean. Sorry to cut you out. Cut you off there. It was crazy. I did some work, and we changed our minds. You know, we were saving an old bay window because it was a Pella window. It was a higher name brand, but it was 35 years old or something silly. So there were so many of those stories, to your point.
I've been through it myself so many times. I know, you know, talking to you through it as well. When you were in the middle of it, I'm sure I heard about 10% of it, you know, but it was,
you lived a bit of it. You
definitely did. And so I'm sure there was a lot more behind it that I knew. And I know that one of the number one things, those of you listening, the reason I'm hanging on this point so much is there's a lot of people who want to do rehab type projects, and and you think sometimes it's a better idea than sometimes maybe it is. I love rehab projects. I love value add projects, but you have to be ready for it, and you have to make sure you're planning correctly for it. And even the best laid plans on a rehab is going to need some major contingencies built in. And I think that you felt that on this project.
Yeah, we did. And the other piece is that being that we were so far out of the long-term rental game, the rental game in general, you lose your contacts. And if you don't call the plumber to use him frequently, and you don't call the landscaper and the people with the horsepower to put to these projects, all of a sudden it felt like we were starting over in many cases. And even now, as I consider next phases, next steps, I'm trying to keep my main guy on board. We're building things, storage buildings. We're doing some things at my house. We're doing different projects, because once you build that team, that's the part that it becomes really tough on. Yeah. Case in point, I did a flip house 2 or 3 years ago, and I'm convinced that unless you have your own crew, again, you almost can't do those at market rate here in Pittsburgh. You just can't. There's no money in it. But the plumber I used on that job 3 years ago thought he was a really good guy, and he is, and so forth. But I brought him into this project. He did the last one for like 14 grand, a whole house replumbed, this and that. I brought him into this one, and he said, I'm probably looking at 30. Like 30? Yeah. Like, wait. I don't think he wanted the job, because he was probably as fearful as I probably should have been, Sean, of it. But when you don't have guys that you can count on for pricing and things like that, those rehabs can really eat you up. So
you're absolutely. And this was in your literal backyard. And imagine doing it across the country somewhere.
I can't. My wife and I want a place up in the Poconos. We can be within a couple hours of our daughter, and use that as a jumping off point. And I can't even fathom how we get anything done just yet there. That's something that we're trying to get our heads around and so forth.
It's making sure that you really have the right team members is what it comes down to. Yeah. Right. And team members on the short-term rental side are way different than team members on a rehab, right? The contract, I mean, totally different sets of team members. And so we're getting this one. toward the end, we're getting ready to launch way after you were hoping to plan on making some money on the property, right? Yep, and so, yep. But we're getting to that stage. You mentioned earlier it was 4 months ago. Walk me through that launch phase, kind of getting that property, you know, ready to go, set up. I know that after the work is done, then we're still having to set it up and furnish it and everything else to get that thing ready for launch, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there were some days where we were working on the race car as it was rolling down the track. My biggest regret right now, and you, Graham, others, Jacob probably have told me to, you know, in many cases you ought to follow the steps, in the process. The biggest regret my wife and I have right now is on our photographs. Yeah. We're actually up and running, and every time I schedule a new photo shoot to get professional photos, we rent for another week or this and that, and we push it further out, and I'm just kind of regretting that because one of the things I really liked about you and your program was I personally can't unsee things that I see. I can't know that something should be done right and just, you know,
forget about it,
rental graded or something like that. Yeah. It's just, you know, like my wife wants, she's talking about maybe moving to this house down the road if we want to or something and that's just the way we kind of do things. And that's why, you know, the program works so well. But yes, we came down to crunch time because we were running out of capital. We were within $10,000 of being at the, you know, the bottom of the barrel and starting to have to either ask people for money or, you know, we had done the credit card stacking process, balance transfers. We tapped out our home equity line of credit in full, and it was getting, you know, it was getting very scary. We went from you know, almost no debt to a ton of debt and, you know, all kinds of things that were going to, you know, spring to 20% interest or whatever.
Yeah.
So we really had to rush, you know, the end process to get launched. We missed the football season. We're labeled as the Blitzburg bungalow, hoping to capitalize on that. You were 1,000% correct in helping us to realize that we are, you know, we're the Applebee's of STRs. We're not a destination place, but we are a convening place. We're big enough to, you know, to house multiple families. You know, the 11 day booking for this month is unfortunately a death in the family. So three families are coming together at our place because we're big enough to house everybody and help them through their process and so forth. But last year we did miss the football season and I was starting to think it was the end of the world. But we're already booked for the holidays this year, I guess, is where I'm going with it. And those rates are triple or quadruple where we launched and things like that, you know, so I can see that things are really taking shape. We've also experienced over 80% occupancy, which had a lot to do with a couple of traveling workers that somehow or another could afford, you know, the $6,000 or $7,000 a month or whatever it costs to rent this place, you know, through the sources and things. So I don't know if it's luck or if it's the system is working. I tend to think it's the system that's working at this point, you know, but things are going really well. And, you know, both she and I are liking it. And my wife has never enjoyed rentals. She actually likes this one because she gets a lot of hands on and decorating and things like that. So
that's awesome. And it is. It's, you know, one, I'm just so happy that, you know, because I know how hard those roads can be when it's dragging out. Like you said, I mean, it gets scary when you get down to that last dollar and you're like, man, I've been running down this road. It's taken me way longer. It costs us way more than we had planned on with that renovation.
Yeah.
And then to launch it and have that positive, you know, those positive things happening and you're like, okay, you know, I feel like I can take a breath for a minute. You know, it's still scary, especially when you're in a market like my market. And one of my markets, our average lead time is 8.5 days. And it sounds like this one's a shorter lead time market you're experiencing a little bit. And it ends up being, that can be a little bit stressful as well, because you're like, man, I'm looking at the calendar. I had a guy tell me, call up, I was talking to him last week and he said, I think you're full of crap. I don't think your numbers are right on your Cherry Log property. I looked at your calendar and it's wide open. Mm-hmm. You only have a few bookings, you know, a week or two out. And after that, you're wide open. And I said, well, keep looking at it. It'll always be 2 weeks out. And, you know, it's an 80% occupied property that literally has a wide open calendar almost all year long because I only book a couple weeks out.
Yeah.
And so that,
and I wouldn't have believed
it. Used to that. It's a little stressful though, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. It is definitely stressful. And the fact that those two fellas that I just grabbed, they grabbed January and February, which, you know, once football season ends, unless the hockey season is off the boards, which we've been marginal at best here recently, there's no thoughts of baseball. There's no warmth. Yeah. There's no sun. There's nothing. Yeah. So it was getting a little scary this month. And then, you know, I guess to your point as well as Ron's, you know, you trust in the process, and you know, all of a sudden this booking came up. I was really hoping that we'd see a bit of a pattern, so that we could start to plan a little bit better. But I don't think that's there. We have weddings, we have a marathon, we have a draft,
we have a funeral.
We have holiday folks coming in to see family. Yeah. It's just all over the board, but it's doing really well. I mean, we've already brought in, I think, over $20,000 in 3 months in revenues, and we're way out ahead on at least servicing the mortgage and covering our operating costs and things. So yeah, it's doing well. And, you know, not to mention that, you know, with the sweat equity and everything else, I think we have probably a 30 or 35% equity position in the property. It's pretty high. So yeah, we're real happy with it. We're committed to keep rolling. So, thank you and the team. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. I love to hear that positive role starting to happen. And it is what you mentioned. We're always big on, let's select a target audience, create a unique experience for that target audience. Yep. You and I had many conversations of, this does feel like a base camp, an Applebee's, like the neighborhood, like we're going to get all the things. Cause you're in a very, in a large area, big major metro area, has a lot of different things going on, but we're not right at one of them, right? And so we're 15 minutes from all that. You have a larger property, some nice acreage, a really good base camp. And so, we kind of are anticipating that type of a, you know, from the very beginning, we were kind of anticipating you don't have a really like specific target audience. Yeah. You have a very like good base camp type of a property, and that's what we're seeing right now, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. And I'm curious, what we don't have bookings for right now is the end of April and the first week of May.
Yeah,
and let's, that's graduation. Let's
talk about what's going on right then. That's a big event, right?
Yeah, it stands to reason. I'm hoping, you know, at that 4 week, 3 week, 2 week period, the families that are coming in for all the college graduations, because there's 10 universities within 20 minutes of us here. And we think we're well positioned for that. But I keep wanting to try to motivate with price. And I know what you've said on that topic. And Ron reminds me. Every time I reach out and ask him about that he just says you're so impatient.
The data will dictate, and for sure, and I would totally agree with Ron. It's one of those things, and it's hard though, because I think a lot of times people like you have the draft coming up, and that's a big event, kind of a one-time event that's gonna bring a lot of people in. Prices are going to be a lot higher. You had a booking and then get canceled. And so then we're like, holy crap, what do we do? Let's get a discount. Let's fill that. But you still have, you know, what we're still 40 or 50 days away, right?
It's exactly. The 48. It's,
And so it's plenty of time to fill that up. I would totally agree with Ron to say,
hey, let's what he said this bike. Morning when I at 7 a.m. when I text him, he said, where'd you get these numbers? And I said, well, my wife and I were talking. So anyways, trust the system. I am every day becoming more of a believer in things. And, you know, I can't say enough about you and, you know, your team and all the folks that you have, the friendship, the welcoming nature, and all the members. I haven't met anybody that hasn't offered, you know, some either great advice or, here, try this. This is how you fix that. Or, you know, I come to the group with all kinds of questions, and I'm amazed at how much time and how giving people will be, you know, just to volunteer some feedback, you know.
It's pretty fun, isn't it? It is by far and away, in my opinion, the most valuable asset and aspect of Odyssey is just our community, community of people that are doing this. You know, the collective knowledge and experience within there is so amazing. And then just the willingness to give back and pay it forward and realizing that, hey, we were all in that position asking the questions at some point in our lives. And if I have the answer, we want to help out. And you do the exact same thing for everybody else too. It's just one of those things that it just, what goes around comes around, and that just keeps coming around in Odyssey. It's pretty fun.
It really does. Our first launch weekend, we lost a 5-day rental that probably would have generated $2,500 because there was a really good Steelers game and a Pitt Notre Dame football game.
Yeah.
I told you this story before, but for others. And somehow or another, I let one person in at an intro discounted $140 rate or something. She was awesome. She wrote the nicest review you could ever imagine. Like people have asked me, did you pay her? Did you write it for her? And I said, no, you know, she wrote that, but we lost out for not really knowing that side of the game and things. And that was all on me. You know, the program and you and others had suggested there are some things you need to be thinking about before you go live and so forth. And I did, and I was rushing and so forth, but, we've definitely righted the ship, and, it took a conversation with you and one other key member, of the family here. And, we, you know, for probably $150 a month, the cost of one night, you know, we have revenue management, we have, you know, we have resources, we have, you know, all the technology, AI, everything's in place and stuff. So it's, and it would have taken me forever to find that kind of stuff.
You know,
just experimenting and trial and error and so forth. So.
Well, and just knowing that you have people, like even on when the draft week, that draft weekend booking, you lose it. And instead of panicking, where our natural tendency is like, holy crap, I got to fill this. Is this going to fill? This is such a major weekend. Yeah. Just having people like, no, the numbers are showing. We're good, right? I always remind myself, like on those properties like that and like yours and mine in Cherry Log, some of my properties book further out in that, but that's a really low one. And I have you ever seen Braveheart? Have you seen the movie Braveheart?
Sure, yeah.
When Mel Gibson's there, they're on that big line, and the English army's charging him. He's hiding behind this thing.
Old.
Yeah, it's like that's how I feel like sometimes when we're not throwing those discounts out too early. Hold.
Yeah. I conceded again. I've hit him three times with price reduction, and he's like, Hold.
Yeah.
My wife just shakes her head. She's like, well, we better get somebody. I'm like, I have trust in the system.
Exactly. Well, if I'm a betting man, I'm betting that you will have somebody. So
if not, we'll have family in town and stuff. That's the other upside is my wife said, well, we'll just go down there and have a draft party of our own, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
We'll enjoy the place one way or the other. Right.
Love it. Awesome, Craig. Well, listen, this has been an amazing conversation. Super grateful that you're willing to have it, let people listen in. At the end of the episodes, I always like to put you on the spot a little bit and ask you if there is one lesson or one thing that comes to mind that you wish you knew before that you would like to share with other people that are listening. Is there something that comes to mind of a piece of advice or a lesson learned or something that you wish you knew beforehand that you want to end the, you know, give a little piece of advice there on?
Sure. Two items very quickly. Yeah. One, follow the system, follow the steps. I did shortcut. I admitted I've atoned for my sins on that one. And two, you know, everybody always talks about your contingency budget and, you know, assessing your properties and sort of being best prepared. I would say have secondary financing and maybe even tertiary levels of financing in place, just as that fallback if you do need it. It I feel like it does end up working out and things, but the construction side of things, if you're getting into rehab, can really cause you to a few extra gray hairs in your process and things. So those would be my two main things.
Love it. I love that having the budget to get to the finish line, but also then if you're having any sort of a rehab, work done, value add, having that extra, like you said, secondary and tertiary financing to get to the finish line, because I mean, it really, you have to get there in order for the money to start coming back in. And so your back is really against the wall when you start, you know, running out of the funds to get there. I always tell people, even if it's not a rehab project, the name of this game is making sure that we can get these properties set up correctly to dominate in the markets that they're going to go compete in. And many times that back end budget is as much or more than your down payment on the property. And so naturally we think, okay, I can afford it because I can afford the down payment and I could buy the property and I qualify and everything else. But if you don't have the money on the back end to get to the finish line, your back's against the wall before you even start. And it makes it really difficult. So I think it's a really good piece of advice for people to be thinking about. So my friend, this has been an awesome conversation. I appreciate it.
Great talking with you.
Absolutely. Those of you listening, I hope you guys, I know you do because you tell us in the reviews and the comments we get. I know you like these conversations as much as I do. And so always, always appreciate you guys that are listening, spending your time with us. We know it's very valuable and we do not take that lightly. And hopefully you very much enjoy these conversations. If you do, I do ask you a favor at the end of these shows is share the show. We don't run ads or sponsorships. You don't have to have a lot of pauses and listen to people selling you stuff. The only way the show grows, though, is if you guys share it then. And so those things are very, very helpful for us. If you don't have anybody particularly to send it to that wants to walk into this game with their eyes wide open or that would be a part of our conversation on the short-term rental, you know, conversations, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And those algorithms are really smart and they'll share it with other people just like you. And so those things are helpful if you have more than 30 seconds. And the final most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.